If you have a Bible, which I trust you do, I'm going to invite you to turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 14 verses from Acts chapter 1 just at this stage. So reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Let's hear God's word to us. Dr. Luke is writing, and he says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered round him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.' Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." And we'll stop our reading there at verse 14. And before I come to very briefly reflect on some of those verses this morning, I wanted to take some time at the beginning of the vacancy here in Highkirk. I wanted to take some time to explain to you what happens next. It's almost 20 years since you last experienced a vacancy here in Highkirk. Some of you might have a very good memory of how things worked back then. Some of you maybe don't have such a good memory. Many of you possibly weren't around Highkirk the last time you experienced a vacancy. And perhaps in recent years, you've joined Highkirk from outside of the Presbyterian denomination, and you are just unsure as to how this whole Presbyterian process is going to work. And so I wanted to take a few moments this morning just to outline in general terms the process, the vacancy process going forward. In general terms, there are four stages. That's the way I think of it. There are four stages to finding a new minister for any Presbyterian congregation. And there they are up on the screen, and I'm just going to take a little bit of time to talk you through this process that is to come. The first stage we call the request for leave to call stage, requesting leave to call. What's that all about? Our denomination wants to ensure that before a congregation calls a new minister, the denomination wants to ensure that that congregation is healthy. Healthy in terms of its ministry, and of course, numerically and financially viable. And so every vacant congregation, without exception, within our denomination, must receive permission from the denomination to call a new minister before the process of looking for a new minister begins. That process is called requesting leave to call. That process involves the Kirk session, along with the committee, submitting necessary paperwork detailing some statistics from the congregation, as well as outlining something of the ministry, the current ministry of the congregation. And that submission needs to be supported by our local presbytery, the Ballymena Presbytery, before being transmitted to what's known as the Linkage Commission of our denomination, and that is the body that is responsible for granting final permission. And then a delegation from Kirk Session here in High Kirk will be invited to bring a short presentation to the Linkage Commission, and that'll take place in Assembly Buildings in Belfast. So that is the request for leave to call stage of the process. I envisage that that will be a relatively straightforward process for High Kirk, requesting leave to call, but nevertheless, it is a process that we are required to follow prayerfully and humbly, and indeed work on that first stage of the process has already begun. And then when leave to call has, we trust, been granted, we move on to the second stage, which is that stage where we consider candidates. And at this point, eligible ministers in our denomination will be able to apply for the vacancy here in High Kirk. But in addition to that, voting members of the congregation, you who are voting members of the congregation, will be invited to submit to Kirk Session the names of ministers who you feel would be suitable to be the next minister of High Kirk to be considered for the vacancy here. Now, don't do anything about that just yet. Don't be writing down a list of names and hand them to members of Session, and certainly don't be contacting any ministers. Don't be doing anything like that at this stage. We'll let you know the process for that procedure that's to be followed when it comes to that stage. And then, of course, Kirk Session will have the task of screening the various names that have been submitted to it and those who have applied. And they'll have the task of approaching potential candidates, interviewing, shortlisting, before ultimately inviting a person or persons to be heard by you, the congregation. Now, this considering candidates stage of the process is probably the longest phase of the process during a vacancy. As you can imagine, it takes time for Kirk Session to prayerfully consider candidates. And of course, that is also a two-way process. Potential applicants need time to consider High Kirk, to do their homework on the congregation here, to prayerfully explore the possibility of whether the Lord might be stirring and leading them to move forward in a process, exploring the possibility of coming to be your next minister. That all takes time. If you can imagine, there is a minister in a congregation somewhere now, and the chances are they're going to get a phone call from myself at some stage in the coming months. And they are happily getting on with their ministry wherever they are. And suddenly, out of the blue, they get a phone call saying, would you consider becoming the next minister of High Kirk? That takes time to land in your head and to process. So that whole stage of considering candidates is one that takes a little bit of time. And at the end of that process of considering candidates, you as a congregation will formally meet to decide whether, thirdly, you want to issue a call to someone to be your next minister, having heard them preaching here in the congregation. And of course, that minister will also have to prayerfully decide whether to accept that call. And then the fourth and the final stage of the vacancy, after a call has been issued and we trust accepted, the final stage is that of preparing for the new minister to arrive. That minister and potentially family are going to have to begin the process of leaving their current ministry, their current home, preparing to move to Highkirk, and you as a congregation will have preparations to be made in anticipation of their arrival, preparing for a service of installation, and very possibly as well some work in the months to complete at that stage also. So that's the process outlined in general. Requesting leave to call, then considering candidates after leave to call has been permitted. Then after that process of considering candidates, issuing a call before finally preparing for a new minister to arrive. And of course, we're just at the first stage of that process, that of soon requesting leave to call. As I've talked through that process, I wonder how you feel. You have maybe come to appreciate that this is all going to take a bit of time. We're talking months here, not just a few weeks. I'm sorry to break it to you, but you will not have a new minister in Highkirk by Christmas. This is a process that is going to take many months rather than many weeks. So I and the Kirk session here would ask for your prayerful patience. Prayerful in that the whole process needs to be bathed in prayer. And I'll say a little more about that in a second. And patience. At times it will seem as if we are moving at pace, while at other times it may appear publicly anyway on the surface as if little progress is being made. But please be assured that the Kirk session here will always be seeking to make progress wisely under the Lord. And throughout the entire vacancy, we will endeavor to keep you all informed regarding progress that is being made. Prayerful patience. And so now you're entering into a season of waiting. Waiting is never easy. Most of us hate waiting. I hate waiting. In everyday life, we've invented lots of things to reduce the time we spend waiting. We have on-demand TV now, so you can watch whatever program you want to, whenever you want to, without having to wait for it to come on next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Many of us subscribe to things such as Amazon Prime so that we can access next day delivery of our online purchases rather than having to wait 3 or 4 days. It so happens I'm the one in our household with Amazon Prime, so anytime anybody wants to buy anything, they come to me and say, "Dad, will you buy this for me?" I kind of have got the raw end of the deal there because they get the next day delivery, but I have to pay for the thing, it seems. When traveling through an airport, you can now pay extra to access the fast lane for security because it really matters that you can get through security more quickly than anybody else. Or, of course, you're now able, or for years you've been able to pay for speedy boarding in order to avoid waiting in line. We live in a culture where waiting is a problem. Waiting is an obstacle. Waiting seems to be meaningless and purposeless. Because you see, we're so busy focusing on whatever it is we're desiring at the end of the wait. And the waiting part just seems to be an obstacle to the thing that we have set our hearts on. Waiting in our culture is a problem. I'm not so sure that God sees things that way. When we read Scripture, so often we see that rather than waiting being a problem, instead waiting has a purpose. Waiting, it seems, is not in the way of God's plan. The waiting is a part of God's plan. There's often work that God wants to do in us as we are forced to wait. That's true for us as individuals, and it's true for us as churches. God so often wants to do a work in us as we wait. So many examples in the Scriptures where the Lord's people have to wait. There's something you can think about when you go home today. Can I think of any examples in Scriptures where the Lord's people have been forced to wait for something? How many can you come up with? But I just want to take us briefly to one of those this morning, found in our reading from Acts chapter 1, where Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. But before he does so, he instructs his disciples, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Jesus tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit to come. Think about it. The Father could have sent the Holy Spirit immediately following Jesus' ascension to heaven. In one instant, Jesus could have ascended to heaven, and in the next instant, the Father could have sent the Holy Spirit right then. But there's a delay. These followers of Jesus have to wait. They had no idea how long they would have to wait for. And to be honest, at this stage, they didn't really have a huge understanding of what or who it was they were waiting for. They're just told by Jesus to wait. Why the wait? Well, we can't be sure why, but certainly as I read Acts chapter 1, this time of waiting is such a positive time for that early church. This time of waiting is such a positive time for that early church, positive in two ways. Firstly, this time of waiting is positive for the early church because it's a time during which they grew in dependence on the Lord. They grew in dependence on the Lord. Do you notice that their waiting was active? Verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. As these early followers of Jesus were forced to wait, they became active in prayer. And there's this sense that this was regular, persistent prayer. praying for guidance as to what to do next, praying for the Holy Spirit to come during this period of waiting, during this period of absence. They grew in their dependence on the Lord. I want to encourage you as a church this morning during this time of waiting. I want to encourage you to use this time productively in growing in your dependence on the Lord. I know that developing a prayerful dependence was very much a mark of Norman's ministry here. And I'm so encouraged to see that the Kirk Session have a desire that this vacancy be one that is bathed in prayer. And there are various opportunities coming your way to come together and wait on the Lord together and pray for all that's going to take place during this vacancy. One of the very first things that I was given when I was appointed convener of the vacancy here was this little bookmark, a new season to pray, and some points for prayer in the back of it. And I trust that you've all got a copy of that and you have it tucked in somewhere and you're using it for your prayers. And I know that tonight here begins that kind of corporate gathering of a new season to pray as you'll look back with gratitude to the for the past, but you'll also look forward with anticipation to the future, seeking the Lord's guidance and protection and presence as you move through this vacancy process together. And I really, really want to encourage you to be here tonight and to be part of that new season to pray. Make growing in your dependence on the Lord together such a part of your involvement in the vacancy here. Even if you're not someone who has, up until this point, been involved much in the corporate prayer life of the congregation, I would encourage you to get involved during the period of this vacancy and indeed beyond. Praying with gratitude for all that the Lord has done. Praying for the Lord's wisdom and guidance throughout this time of vacancy. Praying for the Lord's protection throughout this time of vacancy. Praying for the outpouring and the empowering of the Holy Spirit during this time of vacancy. Praying for continuing fruitfulness in this time of vacancy. Praying that in the coming months, the Lord will clearly lead you to your next minister and clearly lead your next minister to you. Growing in dependence on the Lord. This period of waiting, which this early church went through, encouraged them to grow in dependence on the Lord, and may that be the same for you here in High Kirk, where I know depending on the Lord has been such a mark of the ministry here. During this season of vacancy, may you continue to grow and deepen in your dependence on the Lord together. That's the first way in which this time of waiting was positive for the early church. And the second way in which this time of waiting was positive for them, and I trust will be for you too, was that they grew not only in dependence on the Lord, but they grew in unity with one another. Or to quote at the very start of the service, Neil, as he led us into the service, spoke from or read from John 17, which speaks about oneness. As you read through these opening chapters of Acts, and as they wait together, there's this growing sense of oneness. You see that verse 13 there of Acts chapter 1. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the woman, which presumably included the various women who had followed Jesus, as well as the wives of some of the apostles, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And Acts 1:15 tells us that the whole group numbered about 120 back at that time. There's this language of oneness, togetherness, unity. And it's really interesting to bear in mind that this was a group of people, that there were people in this group with whom there was more than a little bit of history. Among the apostles, for a start, you had people such as Simon the Zealot, a former freedom fighter who in the past had been prepared to fight to free the Jews from Roman domination, Simon the Zealot. But then on the other hand, you had Matthew, the former tax collector who had colluded with the Romans. You had a disciple such as John, who had stood at the foot of the cross and watched Jesus die. And then you had Peter, who had denied Jesus, fled during the time of his trial and crucifixion. And yes, Jesus had restored him. And here now this Peter has taken some kind of lead. And then you had the apostles themselves as a collective group who had spent the last 3 years with Jesus, learning from him, trusting him. But on the other hand, you also were told had Jesus' brothers. And we know that Jesus' brothers at one stage had said that Jesus was out of his mind, that he was mad. And they only came to believe in Jesus following his resurrection. This is such a diverse group of people. There was so much potential for tension and fragmentation. But this is a group united by Jesus, united in Jesus, one in Christ Jesus. Indeed, this could be theologically dodgy, so forgive me, the kind of theological scrutinizers among us. But indeed, you might even go so far as saying that until they were united, God wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit. Maybe the period of waiting was to see, are they ready? Are they united? Are they one? And then the Father sends the Spirit. And as we go through the book of Acts, as the church grows and as members of the church become even more varied from different backgrounds, there are times when that oneness is put under pressure and the church has to learn to grow in unity. Various individuals needing to learn to make sacrifices in order to preserve unity. Remember Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing. Now, I want to be really clear with you this morning. My sense from Highkirk is that this is a united congregation. I have heard nothing to suggest otherwise. I want to be really clear when I say that. But I do want to very much encourage you this morning, during this time of vacancy, during this time of waiting, that you continue to grow in oneness with one another. The evil one wants to disunite and tear down, but the Spirit of God wants to unite and build up. So folks, during this time of vacancy, continue to show up for one another and be devoted to one another, Romans 12, verse 10. During this time of vacancy, continue to encourage one another and build each other up, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. During this time of vacancy, continue to serve one another humbly in love, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. During this time of vacancy, continue to be completely humble and gentle, being patient, bearing with one another in love, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. During this time of vacancy, continue to forgive each other, just as God in Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4, verse 32. And during this time of vacancy, continue to show hospitality to one another, to be a welcoming congregation. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. This time of waiting, during this time of waiting, this early church grew in unity, grew in togetherness, grew in oneness with one another. Waiting. This time of waiting, this time of vacancy is not an obstacle, is not a problem. I know that you, that we're all desiring the person to emerge at the end of the wait. But I'm encouraging you not to waste this time of waiting itself. May during this time of waiting, you as a church family grow in your dependence on the Lord and grow in your unity, oneness with each other. For your good and for the praise of God's glory. I'm going to invite us all to stand as we pray. Shall we stand as we respond to what the Lord's saying to us from His word today? Before then, we continue and respond in our worship. And so, Father, we confess to you this morning that in our individual lives, and sometimes in our life together as a church, we view waiting as something that is to be avoided at all costs. We are so often desiring the thing at the end of the wait, and we want to race and rush our way through the wait. But Lord, we ask today that you would help us not to waste this opportunity that you give us during the season of waiting. This morning we say to you that during this time we want to grow in our dependence on you. Thank you, Lord, for the example of dependence that Norman and the elders have created here in this congregation, along with others. And we pray that during these months, we would deepen further in our dependence on you. And would we, as a result, know and experience your goodness? And Father, we pray that you would help us to continue to grow in oneness, deliver us from the evil one, we pray, the one who wants to tear down and divide. And we say we want to follow in the ways of Jesus. We want to build up and continue to unite. We want to be one in Christ Jesus. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to that end, we pray. Help us in our waiting. And I've sensed this morning as I've been preparing for this that this is a message not just for the church family here in Highkirk, but it's perhaps a message for individuals within the church family here. You are in a season in your life, and the Lord, it seems, is forcing you to wait for something. And I think he wants you to know today that the waiting is not a waste, but he is wanting to do a work in your life even through your waiting. Oh yes, you continue to ask him for whatever it is the desire of your heart. But know that even in your waiting, the Lord is working for your good and for his glory. Maybe there's someone today and you'd like someone to pray for you along those lines. You're having to wait for something and you just love someone to come alongside you and pray with you. And I'm sure members of the prayer ministry team would be more than happy.